Theater of the Mind.
A lot of haunters get stuck in a pattern when they try to conceptualize a new haunt, and unfortunately, it's often what's selling well right now. Popular images, movies, and of course trends in the haunt industry itself can sometimes distract the artist from a rather basic thought which should always be in mind. What would scare me? Sometimes it helps to mentally go back to a time before haunting, childhood if your memory goes back that far, and think of something that scared you even if it never posed an actual threat. I actually remember when I was 6 years old going to a cave on my cousin's country property one hot summer day, and I couldn't go in any farther than the main entrance chamber. I was terrified. The air was deliciously cool and inviting, better than air conditioning, but I wanted to leave because it was a dark, spooky cave full of shadows and quite possibly spooks and boogeymen, and I was six. I grew to love cave exploration, but at that young age, you couldn't have convinced me to go deeper in there for anything. The Chthonic Realm is a scary and uncomfortable place for most people. Our earliest ancestors may have sheltered in caves, but clearly preferred to spend most of their time in the world of daylight. It's dark underground, and it's scary not to be able to see what's around you. Things can hide in the shadows, and it's all one big shadow down there. Even if nothing alive is stalking you, there's no way of knowing if you can trust the very structure surrounding you. Might there appear a sudden chasm or hole in the floor to swallow you? Is the ceiling sound? Could you be crushed or sealed off from the outside world, never to return? We belong under the sun, with breezes and green grass. Animals live underground. Strange and dangerous animals. Bears, snakes, bats, maybe weird things we never see. And what about air? Is the air fit to breathe? And don't even talk about getting lost. Would anyone hear me if I called out, or would I be doomed to die down here, no one above being even aware of where I am? And of course, there's that one final association no one wants to think about. The grave. Corpses belong under the dirt, not the living. Some of the most elaborate subterranean structures ever built by man were crypts and catacombs. The world below is clearly better suited for the dead. Screw underground, man. Claustrophobia is just the beginning. There's a whole laundry list of reasons not to go down there. These associations and ill feelings with the underground world are not necessarily always rational, but they're very common ways of thinking, and it's hard for a lot of people to shake the idea that if they go very far below the surface, something is going to happen to them. When asked what does it look like underground, the easiest answer would obviously be dark. But in the natural world, many subterranean areas, when lit, reveal astonishing and fantastical architecture and detailing. The natural forces that shape the world below are very different than those on the surface, and people who go cave exploring for the first time are often amazed at the weird and alien landscapes. It's a different world, and someone not from that world is definitely going to be off guard. Of course, it's important to distinguish between natural and man-made underground spaces. Dungeons and cellars can certainly share many of the oppressive qualities of caves, but the tone is much different. Wandering through natural tunnels and caverns may make one wary of encountering animals, monsters, and various structural hazards, but the man-made structure is a controlled environment, and what sort of person is in control of it is the big question. If said environment belongs to, say, the Spanish Inquisition, you're probably better off taking your chances with the bears or what have you in the caves. The idea is control. If you're in a constructed world, the person who had it constructed is definitely the one with all the leverage. Of course, this would work in a natural cave system too if it turned out that these aren't regular caves, but a warren of tunnels dug by large unspeakable somethings. Like the dungeons, it's someone or something else's world, and they're holding all the cards. Constructing the haunt to suggest subterranean spaces is a bit of a challenge for the haunter. Going the natural route and making caverns involves a lot of work and expense. Since the world of the grotto is not modular, surfaces and structures need to be formed or molded with an eye toward continuity across the entire structure. This generally involves building something that can't be moved around or rearranged. It stays where it's made. If the seams between the parts show, the illusion's blown. Also, geological formations do not follow regular architectural conventions, so the layouts are not very space efficient, which may be an issue in smaller haunts. Another major consideration is the material medium used for the build. The curved surfaces and irregular shapes found in the world below would call for some sort of fluid medium like plaster, cement, or resin layered onto a base of fabric or mesh. This gets great results. A lot of the work I did at the St. Louis City Museum was in the caves, and it turned out great. But the material takes a lot of time to set and cure. It's heavy, and removal when it's time to strike the set involves some serious demolition and disposal. Papier-mâché may seem like one way to go, but that has a lot going against it. For one thing, it has to be layered on a bit at a time and takes forever to apply and dry. It's great for small projects, but not entire rooms. It's fragile and wouldn't last long if it's in reach of the guests, especially kids. And then there's the fire hazard consideration of building large paper enclosures. Not good. A viable alternative might be the Haunter's old reliable standby of monster mud over fabric. That could get some good-looking results, but the durability comes into question again. So would be the case with foam. It would give great results in shape, but require some serious hard coating, which stresses the budget of most home haunters and pro startups. Haunters challenged by time and budget may opt for the man-made route of dungeons and catacombs. Regular walls and ceilings are much easier to deck out with faux stonework or brick face, and even bones can be formed into sheets and attached to existing architecture. One of the nice things about using flat surfaces is that it helps the durability issue. Surface damage is still possible, but at least entire formations are not in as much peril of being crushed or snapped off. The big artistic issue is putting across the idea that the audience is in fact deep underground, when rooms and hallways are the norm in the surface world as well. Lots of visual clues can help with that. Plenty of mold and moss hints at a world untouched by daylight, and evidence of water seepage throughout also seems rational in an underground structure. A damaged or collapsed section here and there could show natural rock or soil on the other side. And then there's the option of showing an entrance into a natural tunnel or cave. The tricky structural work could be formed from less durable materials if that section is just a display off the path of the guests. Spots like that would be a good place for creature props like giant spiders or monsters. A claustrophobic environment with narrow halls and especially low ceilings, within safe limitations of course, also helps push that underground ambiance. The natural cave may be out of budget in terms of both money and time for many haunters, but there's certainly no better way to sell the illusion of being underground than being surrounded by earth. It makes it kind of obvious. But the regular flat surfaces of regular architecture are much more workable and affordable. A good compromise would be a mine. The regular flat surfaces of ordinary building methods are perfectly reasonable in such a man-made environment, and the suggestion of earth and rock can be accomplished with just an inch or two of texturing and detailing. Add regular wall and ceiling supports and the occasional rough spot or collapsed section, and voila, you're in the world beneath. While it's out of reach for most home haunters, the haunter with the means to pull it off could greatly benefit from water features. Underground pools, streams, or even just a wall here and there with water running down it from cracks above are awesome at selling the idea of being far below the surface. The practical concerns of keeping the water safely contained, preventing water damage to props and scenery, and humidity control can be formidable, but not undoable, and the effect can be well worth the effort. And finally, the other senses can be called upon to complete the subterranean experience. Soundtracks are available, or can be easily created, with dripping water, flapping bats, rats squeaking, and low moaning cave winds. Sinister scents makes aromas like earth and mildew that can really add to the atmosphere. And, while it's definitely going a bit overboard, if there's any way to pump air-conditioned air into sections of the haunt, that extra bit of chill would make the whole package eerily complete. There are many, many haunt scenarios that lend themselves to a trek underground. People's natural mistrust of the world below helps create an atmosphere of spookiness and unease. We're surface beings. We're out of our element down there. After all, that's where the goblins and the trolls live. And if you dig deep enough, hell's down there somewhere. Even if you don't break through into Devil Central, there's bound to be some demons wandering around on walkabout. The possibilities, from ancient and folkloric to modern or even futuristic, are limitless. Motivational speakers are always telling us that in our quest for success, we should reach for the sky. But this is the haunt world. Sometimes our goals are best met by reaching down below. It's a deep subject, but do it right and your audience will be down with it. Way, way down. It's dark down there. Keep the ghost light burning. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.